It's Kiddish Club. We're back, and we're bringing you a segment that is back by popular demand, and that is our taste tests.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you're going to go with, like, Right or Narishkeit.
Oh.
Because that's been requested.
That has been requested. Do you guys want Right or Narishkeit? Because if you do...
Let us know.
Just need to ask.
A lot of people want more specials. More interviews.
Yes, yes, we're getting... And we have them lined up, and we will be bringing them to you, so stay tuned.
You know what else is another big pressure? To bring a Purim interview.
What does that mean?
I don't know. People want a good interview. Like, who are we bringing on for Purim? Like, who's Kiddish Club going to have for Purim?
Oh, I can't wait to find out.
Me too.
That's the Purim joke. That there's no one.
Well, we'll see. It's still early.
Okay, I have my Purim costume. Do you have your... Is it too early to start talking about this? We should wait, right?
Next week.
Okay, this time. Okay, we'll talk. It's on my list. We're going to talk about Purim.
Fair.
And you're going to see my costume, and it's epic.
You think so?
Oh, it's epic.
Because I don't even remember you ever dressing up.
I always dress up, but I usually dress up like a yeshiva bacher, which means I don't dress up.
Right.
No, I do. Not dress up. I put on like a black cape, and I called myself a magician.
Like, I don't know if that counts. That's not really dressing up, right? Like, yeah. Just pulling shtick doesn't count. Like, oh. Putting like a handkerchief on or wearing a crazy tie does not
what
count
if I
as
wear
a
like dreadlocks? I put on a hat that had dreadlocks.
Yeah, that's not a costume. Shtick. It's shtick.
Okay, this year I guarantee you it's going to be
it's not gonna be
and you're gonna take a picture
shtick.
You're gonna take a picture of it. And you're going to post it in the WhatsApp group. How about
Whoa,
that?
Trevor, you heard this?
Yeah.
This is news. Wow.
And in fact, how about this? Even better. You're going to post a video.
I like it even better.
Keep
talking.
My words.
But
Mark,
you know what? This
words.
Is all recorded, so.
I have to come through now.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, before we get to that, we're going to do this taste test. So I thought I invented this, right? And then it was like on a Shabbos table, and I was telling people about it, and they all thought I was insane. But then I saw a video online, because, you know, I check out all these food things and these food ideas, and they were talking about it, and I was like, hey, that was my idea. But it turns out...
It's been thought of before.
Yes, like everything else. And so everyone made fun of me, and you're going to make fun also, but then I'm going to force you to taste it, and then we will see what you think. So what we're doing here, I have Coke Zero cherry flavor.
Okay.
Which by itself is pretty good.
All right.
Right?
I mean, I'm not a Cherry Coke person. I'm not a Coke Zero person. But yeah, whatever.
What are you? And in my right hand, we have Coffee Mate French Vanilla.
Mm.
And what we are going to be doing is adding Coffee Mate French Vanilla to the Cherry Coke.
How much are we adding?
We're adding.
Oh, that's very liberal.
Not very liberal.
That was quite
what
the pour.
What is that, a tablespoon?
Let me see.
Maybe a tablespoon and a half.
It looks like light coffee. Like, yes. If you take your coffee light and sweet, this is it.
Yes. Now, are you ready?
I have to drink this.
Oh, yeah. Don't take a gu- You know, sip it. Sip
okay,
it.
Fair.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, go.
Count to three, two, one.
Whoa. Very interesting.
Right?
You really bring it with these things.
How good is that?
It has a coffee-esque taste to it because of the creamer. Then there's fizz.
And then there's ice creamy kind of, right?
Yeah, because you got, like, of the coffee mate.
Right.
I'm going to go in for one more, honey.
Yeah, I know you're going to go for one more. You always do.
Wow, but this is like to be sipped almost like a non-alcoholic liqueur.
Yeah.
That's what it tastes like.
And it's meant to be appreciated and enjoyed, right?
Yeah. But you can't, you can't gulp this. This is sipping only.
Yes. But you see how when I showed it to you, you were like, no, I'm not doing that. Then you taste it and you're like, I could get used to this.
Yeah, I could. But you know what? I'm saying if you would add a little bit of schnapps to this, that's another.
That's next week. That's next week's taste test. And before we start, I just want to get something off my chest. Can I?
Of course. Wait a second. This is your podcast.
Oh, that's
this
true.
This is the place for you to do it. That's why it exists.
Okay. Here it is. Because it's one thing when you hear something in common conversation, but it's something else when you start hearing it from, like people in the news, and people are supposed to be like very highly intellectual, et cetera, et cetera. So here's one of them, actually. The word et cetera, right? Et cetera. It's not et cetera.
Okay.
It's not EXS.
Wait, is this
or EX?
Is this something that's bothering you?
Bothering me like crazy.
Because I didn't know where you're going. I had no idea what this was going to be about.
This is it. It's not etc.
Okay.
It's et cetera. So if you want to say it fast, you could say et cetera, like right. that. But it's not et cetera.
Is it et cetera?
It's et cetera, which is Latin.
So there's two E's there, et cetera.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay? That's number one. You ready for number two?
Go.
It's not asterisk. It's asterisk. Risk, like the game Risk. Asterisk.
Yes, I do. I'm aware.
Okay, that's number two. Yeah, go. And I'm on the Zoom, and this Fortune 500 company, check out the asterisk. No, I will not check out the asterisk. I will check out the asterisk. And that's how I lost the deal from that Fortune 500 company. And the third thing, and this is what takes me to elementary school. I don't know, like the fourth or fifth grade. Okay, we know that you're not supposed to say, like, Timmy and me were running down the street, right? You're not supposed to say Timmy and I.
Correct.
Right, correct. So now people in the world, all over the news and all pundits everywhere, they don't want to sound like, well, you know, you didn't go to fifth grade, you didn't graduate the fifth grade. So they just put and I to everything, even when you're not supposed to.
Such as?
So such as, okay, let's say we're going to use Timmy again because he was in my original example. So if I want to say that this guy Timmy and also me went to the store, I would say...
Timmy and I went to the store.
Very good. Now, what if I said there was a package that was sent to Timmy and?
Me. I would go with me.
That is correct.
Yeah.
But everybody now says to Timmy and I, and that is incorrect. It's to Timmy and me in that sentence.
I don't have this formal education per se, meaning it's just what sounds correct to me. I don't think... Like, I didn't have to, like, oh, that's a preposition rule. Like, I have no idea.
No, I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying everyone's so obsessed with saying the and I that they're using it wrong. And here's this. I'm going to give our audience a simple way to always know when to use which type. You ready? All you have to do is take out the other person and say the sentence. If you take out the other subject in the phrase, see which way it makes more sense, and then you know how to use it. So, for example, Timmy and I went to the store. That's how you said it before.
Yes.
Take away Timmy. And it becomes...
And I went to the store.
I went to the store. Okay. Which is right. A package was delivered to...
Timmy and me.
Take away Timmy.
Package was delivered to me. But you would never say...
You would never say Timmy and I.
No, you would never say a package was delivered to I.
Exactly.
Right.
And that, my friends, was your grammar education for today. You're welcome, courtesy of Kiddish Club.
But once we're talking about annoying things, can I say that I'm annoyed at decaf? Decaf coffee. People think that decaf is just like...
coffee.
No, just the opposite. They think that decaf has no caffeine. There's a difference between...
You know I drink all decaf, right? You know I'm one of those people, right?
What, that always drinks decaf?
Yes.
In the morning?
I have one cup of instant, and that's all the caffeine I can handle.
Wait a second. You don't drink regular caffeine coffee?
Not anymore, no.
Who even are you?
Not because I don't like it. I love it.
But
the caffeine messes me up.
Really?
Messes me up.
Huh.
Yeah.
So even though you have decaf, you're still getting caffeine. Like there's a difference.
Little.
That's not true. There's a difference between decaf and caffeine free. You can't remove all of the caffeine from coffee. It's just not possible. It's not on the menu. But when you have like a tea... You know, when you go into the kettle at night and you have all this whole array of flavored teas, those are caffeine-free.
Yes.
And caffeine-free has zero caffeine.
Let's do a fact check. Okay, and according to Google, decaf caffeine... Okay, let's start with regular caffeinated coffee. One cup of caffeinated coffee has...
200.
95 milligrams of caffeine.
Really? I thought 200. Okay.
95 milligrams. Decaf coffee has...
I don't know.
Your
Tell
guess.
Me.
Your guess. You're the one with the pet peeve here.
Okay. 15.
Two.
Okay, but not
So you are shut down, my friend. It's not zero. But like chocolate zero. Has the same amount. You know what I mean?
Wait a second. If you have two scoops of that instant decaf coffee, you're...
Four.
You could be
Four
at five already. You already be at five.
Okay. How much caffeine is in dark chocolate? 1 ounce. Go, take a guess.
Nobody who eats dark chocolate. That's like artisan dark chocolate that has like that's made of cacao. Like why do we like what is that word even?
Okay, how much caffeine is in one bag of M&M's candies?
A full bag.
Yeah.
I don't know.
5 milligrams.
Okay, but if you eat a full bag of M&M's though, you're besides for the caffeine, you have that sugar rush. You're gonna be up. Like there's no chance you have a bag of M&M's and go to sleep.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
But you want to see something shocking? You ready for this one? A cup of milk chocolate chips. One cup of milk chocolate chips. How much caffeine? 34 milligrams.
Wow.
Okay, wait. A cup of white chocolate chips. How much caffeine?
I want to go with much, much lower.
Zero.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
But here's the thing. None of us ever eat milk chocolate chips, right?
Speak for yourself, bro.
When do you have a milk chocolate chip?
Yeah, you're right.
We don't ever do that.
No, like, Jews don't.
Jews don't ever have a milk chocolate chip.
Because any dessert we're making, you want to be able to be eating on Shabbos.
Like, it's not important enough to make, like, milchig chocolate chip cookies.
Right, right. And it's the one time where Flechig's phobia... It's not Flechig's phobia because you know you're going to be Flechig's whenever you want to eat this. So in order to combat the Flechig's phobia, you make sure it's par from the get-go.
Right. And if you're going to have a dairy... like chocolate chip cookie, it will be jam packed with butter.
Yeah, that's good. I'm getting hungry. Okay, so on the topic of Shabbos meals, I'd like to go right into this video that warmed my heart. So here it is, we're going to play it. And what you're seeing in this video are a bunch of IDF soldiers in a tank on Shabbos. Here it is. How great is that?
That's amazing. Because listen, that's the song they know right now.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, so good. And you were not expecting it at all.
No, no. I was like, is this video dated? I'm like, probably not.
In the video, you actually see, so none of them are wearing yarmulkes, including the guy who's saying the bracha. And someone's like, oh, give him a kippah. And they pass him a kippah. And then everybody else in the tank, like, starts covering the guy in front of his head with their hand.
Oh, it wasn't their own?
Each guy was doing it to the one in front of him.
Because according to halacha, that's really good.
Exactly.
You just can't cover your own head with your hands.
I'm giving them credit
that they
actually knew that. And you see, like, in front of them, the food in this tank, and it's just, like, crackers, cans of tuna.
And bilkalach.
Right.
But let's be honest, the tank is the kippah.
Wait, is that like a halacha?
I don't think, probably not. It's probably not good. You cannot wear a tank as a yarmulke just because you're in one. But, you know, at war,
you make do with the best you can.
Exactly.
No, but you know what's nice? You know what's so nice is, like, when you see the IDF soldiers, especially the ones who don't, let's say, they're not so fluent in their religion, right? But when it comes down to it, that's what they fall back on. Right? That's what they fall back on. They fall back on the memories and you know, the Yiddishkeit that they know. And so now it's Friday night and they're all in a tank and they're all eating and then somebody says, you know what? We got to make Kiddush. And they do it.
Yeah, with an open bottle of grape juice.
With an open bottle of grape juice. He's holding a sitter. It's just really nice to see. It's just, you remember at that point, it comes like flooding back into your brain, these are our brothers and sisters.
Yeah, but a lot of them didn't have the chinuch growing up.
Right,
and they don't even know. Like, some of them don't even know. Just the advent of 10/7 has brought so much awareness, just religious Jewish awareness, to so many people that would never have otherwise had it.
Right, 100%. I mean, just you seeing so many Balei Tshuva coming out of this, you know, 10/7. You know, these missions to provide tzitzis. We covered some of this stuff. The missions to provide tefillin to the soldiers. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's 150 days and counting.
Unfortunately.
Right.
Unfortunately. And so speaking of food in Israel, there's a lot of talk about Gaza and the lack of food. And we're going to get into a bunch of the stories that came out this week. Kamala Harris. But... this past week, America began airdropping food directly into Gaza, whereas, you know, a lot of the border crossings and a lot of the controversy is around surrounding Israel and how much they're allowing in. And so America totally bypassed that whole thing by dropping on pallets of food, attached the parachutes straight into Gaza.
Did Israel know that this was going to happen?
Well, of course they knew. I mean, you can't fly in a military zone without Israel's approval. But it's not something that Israel was exactly pushing, right? This is right. something America's pushing. And so now you could see this pictures and video of like these pallets with these black parachutes just floating down and people on the ground looking up and like seeing the pallets coming down.
Abdullah, there is food coming from the sky. I think I read about this in the Torah. Yeah, their book, yes.
I'm not quite sure if that was the reaction. So the subject of food in Gaza has been very, very
hotly debated.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Because Hamas was hijacking a lot of it.
Yes, and so Israel's been very careful, and Israel has wanted to be very controlling about where the aid is going. And so they're getting criticized because people are saying that Israel's trying to starve out the Gazans. In fact, a special rapporteur for the UN, that's the word, mm-hmm. Actually came and wrote a report about it saying that Israel is intentionally trying to starve the Gazans, which of course we know is ridiculous, but everybody latches onto it, especially the left-wing media, obviously. But I mean, it's gone so far that even Kamala Harris said it. And we have a video I've heard speaking about it. Here it is.
And given the immense scale of suffering in Gaza, there must be an immediate ceasefire. Yeah! For at least the next 6 weeks, which is what is currently on the table. This will get the hostages out and get a significant amount of aid in. This would allow us to build something more enduring, to ensure Israel is secure, and to respect the right of the Palestinian people to dignity, freedom, and self-determination.
Okay, did you hear that one guy cheering? That was her husband. I think auditory analysis will show that that was Doug Emhoff.
Is that his name?
That is.
Wow. Impressed. I am impressed. So yeah, this is the new thing. It's like everybody has to say that the new thing of the genocide is that the Jews are starving the people in Gaza and they're not allowing the aid. And you know, there was a whole incident where, and Israel's being blamed for it, and Israel released a video to counter it. And the claim is that when one of the aid trucks came in, the Israeli troops opened fire on the people who were coming to get the aid. And everybody started parroting it. The UN parroted it. All the news parroted it. Then Israel released a video, and we're not going to include it on the WhatsApp because you really can't make out, unless I guess you're a military person. It's hard to tell, but Israel actually showed that there were so many people who were just, it turned into like a mini riot. And so the Israeli tanks and soldiers just got out of there. They were like, okay, we're out. And they left them to their own devices. But it wasn't Israel trying to stop aid from getting to the people. It's ridiculous to say, and it's ridiculous to parrot that, as they all do.
Right. If anything, Israel is trying to protect civilian life as much as possible. That's why they do the warnings before the bombs come down. And they're trying to do everything they can for civilians. It's just that Hamas is not allowing it.
That's right. As a friend of mine said just today, he said that he was arguing with somebody, a coworker, and we don't recommend that you discuss this with coworkers, but he was arguing with a non-Jewish coworker, and he said, if Israel wanted to commit a genocide, it would have happened on October 8th, and they'd be done by now.
Right. That's also true.
That's it.
Not very hard.
Not hard. Not hard. They have the superiority. But that doesn't stop people from screaming genocide over and over. And the latest victim of this was Jerry Seinfeld. One of the most famous Jews in the world, I would say.
One of the most well-known, for sure.
Yeah. So Seinfeld was leaving an event at the 92nd Street Y in Manhattan. And this is what it sounded like.
And he goes like into his car waving to those smiling. Like when you're at that level of fame and fortune, it just nothing even registers.
Yeah.
You know, you just do the walk and the wave and the smile, and it doesn't even matter what's going on around you.
Exactly true.
But I could see him getting heated and just saying, there's no genocide. There's no genocide.
I wish he would have. You know, I was waiting for him to do something.
It would never happen. If you know, like, if you know his personality,
right.
He's not going to engage.
Okay, but even Alec Baldwin engaged, remember?
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin engaged.
Yes, but again, you're talking about two completely different yes. personalities.
Yes, true, true. And not only did Kamala say what she said, she also met with Benny Gantz. And this was like a major thing because Bibi was reported as saying, so Gantz is part of the war cabinet. He's also Bibi's number one rival. And also, according to polls, if elections were held today, Gantz would beat Bibi. And now Bibi, he didn't ask Bibi's permission. He's part of the war cabinet. And he decided to come to the United States to meet with government officials. And Bibi told him, supposedly, there's only one prime minister of Israel. But he went anyway. And he met with Kamala. And this is just another example of the Biden White House really trying to
undermine
Bibi and keep him on the side. And not a great look for Israel. I mean, you know, Benny Gantz said what he obviously was supportive of Israel, but it's not a good look of the United States really directly getting involved in Israel's
political system. Yeah.
Right, right. And this is after the Biden administration came out to reverse what was called the Pompeo Doctrine, right? Remember Secretary of State Mike Pompeo that recognized Judea and Samaria, the settlements in Judea and Samaria, as
Big
part
Mike.
Of Israel.
Big Mike. Big Mike. Big He's Mike. Got a wine. He's got a kosher wine.
Does he?
You don't. You've seen the Pompeo bottles.
That's him?
Yeah. Who else is it?
No.
It is Mike Pompeo.
No, it's not.
Could you look it up, please?
Fact check time. Okay, here, I got it. Okay, so a winemaker actually named it in honor of Pompeo. It's not his wine.
That's what I meant. Meaning there's a wine named, an Israeli kosher wine named after him.
I thought you meant like Hava Whiskey is Nisim Black.
No, no, no. Did you think that Mike Pompeo is just this entrepreneur that went to Israel to make wine? Is that what you think
yes.
that I meant?
Yes.
Because that's ridiculous.
That's what you were saying, yeah. So anyway, he was saying that the Biden administration reversed the Pompeo Doctrine and that it's a huge mistake, and that they're following the Obama tactics. And those tactics we know did not work. And it's ridiculous because it presupposes that Judea and Samaria, that Jews don't really have a right to it, like somehow this is not part of biblical Israel.
Right. But, you know, where is Judea and Samaria? Like, I'm always confused about that, and I'm probably very ignorant.
Well, it's just another way of saying Yehuda and Shomron.
Yeah, I get that, but shkayach. But where is it?
Oh, well, it's mostly the West Bank. A big chunk of all of the West Bank,
So which
actually.
One is that, Judea or Samaria?
It's both. They're both there.
They're both in the West Bank. That's why explains why I've never been there.
Right, exactly. And that's also where I would say the majority of the Jews lived before the latest exile, right? Before the
because it was near the temple.
Exactly.
It's like East Jerusalem.
And further, yes.
Right, because again, that would have been the other side of the Temple Mount where people would have lived, Jews would have lived in the time of the Beis HaMikdash.
Right, exactly right. So, you know, but this is nothing new. This is nothing new because the Arab world constantly undermines the Jewish right to any of Israel, right? They say that the Cave of the Patriarchs, for example, Ma'arat HaMachpelah, and they say that that's an Arab holy site and not a Jewish site, right? And they keep doing stuff like that.
Well, again, Abraham was their father too, right?
Right, but
so
but,
it's also their ancestor.
Okay, but they don't say that it's shared. They say it's Arab and that we're trying to take it, that the Jews are trying to take it. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much proof, how much archaeological evidence comes out, doesn't matter. Just this week, a coin was found in the Judean desert. And it's a coin from the Bar Kokhba times.
Okay.
And on the coin, it says, Elazar HaKayan, right? Could there be any further proof that you need that the Jews were living there? What exactly does the Arab look at? When he looks at this coin and he sees Elazar HaKayan, what exactly, what's his retort?
This is also Arab name.
Elazar,
yes,
right?
I have unborn son. His name Elazar. I have Ahmad. I have Mahmoud. And there's one more, not yet born, Elazar. That's right. That's right. This is not Jewish place here. Okay?
I mean, we're laughing, but, you know, that's literally what they say. Things like this.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's bizarre. It's an alternate reality. And in our final story on Israel, I mean, this is not a good story, but so an Israeli diplomat in Florida, his son was arrested and taken to jail. So it seems that he was on a motorcycle and he ran over some police. So, like, here's the thing. The more I read about this article, the more I feel bad for him. But I kind of sense that it's probably true, you know, because it's very Israeli sounding.
I mean, ran over some police. You had me right there.
Right, because he didn't want to wait in traffic, supposedly. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I can see myself doing that at some point. Like, if I had no...
And an Israeli, for sure. I mean, they don't wait in Israel. You know that when you step into a street in Israel, you're taking your life into your own hands.
Well, also, diplomats, don't they have immunity?
Immunity.
Like, if I had immunity, the things I would do.
So they didn't give the son immunity, and he got arrested.
Wow. So wait, do you mean to tell me that the father, who is an actual diplomat, could have done it and just left? Like, run over cops, and then just say, I'll see you.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
See you later. Yes, exactly right.
How does that make sense?
That's how it goes.
It's like diplomats are just above the law.
A diplomat, even when they're here, they're considered in their country. They're a piece of their country.
Okay, but nowhere is it legal to run down cops.
Yeah, but you don't have legal jurisdiction over them.
So can their country take action?
Yes, they can. But the question is, will they?
Right, probably not.
I can imagine in Israel when they like heard of this, the diplomat's son, he ran over cops with a motorcycle.
Please, you run over one cop. Please, one police you run over. Please, here, you run over 20. Maybe we're going to take some action.
Exactly. So now he was arrested. He was in jail. And unfortunately, he got assaulted in jail by another guy. And look, I'm just going to read to you what it says. Israeli diplomat's son beaten up in Florida jail over discussion on sausages.
Sausage discussion. I mean, that picture, I don't know who's who in that picture, but somebody's crying.
You can guess.
Somebody is crying in that picture.
That's Avraham Gil, the Israeli.
Poor guy.
Yeah, that's why I said it's not a laughing matter. But at the same time, it's interesting that, you know, he got into this altercation because of a conversation on how to make sausages.
What could the disagreement even be about?
I don't know. And that it escalated. You know, it came to blows.
It doesn't even make any sense. Hey, Chico, do you know the best sausage is the one with the pork? Yes?
And then he's like...
Excuse me, pork don't belong in sausage. We don't eat pork. I never taste pork. I never gonna taste pork. You understand? Papi, say that to my face. Huh? Come here. Huh, you big talker.
Yeah, so... That happened. Okay, so moving on to U.S. politics. SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, came out with a unanimous decision.
Big Trump win.
Colorado cannot keep him off of the ballot. And it was unanimous in the Supreme Court, which is major, because they can't say, well, oh, this is the conservatives that are just trying to, you know, protect Trump because he's a Republican. No, this was unanimous. Everybody agreed.
Which was nice to see, a united American decision. But I also feel like the Trump campaign is making a bigger deal about this than it really is, because he was never winning Colorado.
Right, but you got to take your wins where you can get them.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, this is like this, historic, monumental decision. It's not. They're going to be talking about this 100 years from now, 200 years from now. I mean, give me a break.
Okay, but it's Trump. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I guess.
This was the biggest win ever. I mean, obviously, he's going to say that, right? And speaking of Trump, I saw a great video. And again, you know, you may love Trump, you may hate Trump, but you have to admit, the man is funny. The man can be funny. You could say he's... psychotic. You could say he's a maniac, but he's definitely entertaining.
When he's speaking, I watch.
Yeah, exactly. You can't take your eyes off of him. Okay. Here's a clip of him comparing and contrasting him and Biden. This is what he had to say.
You know, when I imitate Biden, because he can't find his way off a stage, as you all know, he makes a speech that lasts usually about a minute and a half because the octane starts to wear off at a quick rate. You ever notice he starts off strong, within about 2 minutes he can't talk anymore, and then he walks off. You ever notice he always goes like this? Then he comes back up to the mic, and he's looking, he's totally lost. There's stairs all over the place. He can go there, there, here. He could jump off the front of the damn plot. But he always goes like this.
Now, you cannot appreciate that video without seeing it. You must see it. It's worth joining the WhatsApp group just to see this video, because he's acting out on stage, Biden walking off stage after speaking, and it's just exactly right.
It is comedy gold. That's what it, this man brings ratings to C-SPAN. Can yes. we understand that?
Yes, yes. Amazing. Amazing, amazing stuff. But also big news. Mitch McConnell is stepping down as Senate minority leader.
It's about time, don't you think? Yeah, is he in his 90s?
No. He's, I think, 82, 83.
Check it.
82 years old.
Well, he could have fooled me.
He was a very effective majority leader. He was very effective for the Republican Party. And regardless of how you feel about him personally or how you feel about where he stands, you know, on the spectrum of conservatism, he was very effective. He was like a master strategist. And just as one example, I mean, the whole Supreme Court, conservatives on the Supreme Court, that was all orchestrated by him. He was a very effective person. And, you know, he's getting dogged now, especially, you know, his age and a lot of the things that have been going on. But the man deserves a lot of credit for what he did for the Republican Party.
I mean, okay, it's not his funeral. You don't have to, you know, launch it to Hespedim.
I'm just saying. Okay. You know, the man's taken a lot of heat.
An illustrious career.
Yes, yes, I would say that. And in our sports story of the week.
Okay, we're good. Listen.
We're trying.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We're trying.
Yeah, we're giving it a solid try.
Amare Stoudemire, our favorite convert, he had this to say where he was being honored by the Phoenix Suns. Listen to this.
When you look at the lesson I call this, the Hebrew language, there's a numerical value in that. The letter Lamed and the letter Vet equals 32. You bring that word together, it's Lev. Lev in the Hebrew language means heart. As we all know, you guys have seen that I play with heart, determination, fearlessness, focus. So as we see this number going to the Raptors, we have to keep in mind that my heart has been given to Phoenix and the state of Arizona.
So is he officially retiring?
No, he hasn't played in years, bro.
Oh.
No, he hasn't played in the NBA in years. Remember, he went to Israel to play in the – after he left the NBA, he went to Israel, he played in the Maccabee. And that now, I believe he's like a coach or something now, but they're retiring his number, and that's why he's talking about his number was 32.
I don't think anybody caught the gematria in that crowd.
They you know seem to. They're cheering pretty loudly.
They're cheering after he goes, I played with heart.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, nobody understood what is Lamed and Bayes and that.
He didn't
no
say Bayes,
idea.
He said
Vet.
Vet, right, Vet. Yeah. Well, we don't know if they understood it, but he clearly is very well liked. And Kiddush Hashem, that's what I have to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
So also in the news this week, Elon Musk, our favorite anti-Semite / pro-Semite.
Oh, we're still with that.
Still.
He's a pro-Semite.
Well, he was in the news because he announced, you know how they never made the Roadster, the Tesla Roadster?
Yes.
Never came, but he says it's coming. And now he says that this Roadster is going to be able to go 0 to 60 in under 1 second.
I don't know how that is possible.
What does that mean?
I just don't even know how it's possible.
I don't either.
Like, a spaceship doesn't go that fast.
I don't understand it. But I know one thing. There's a whole bunch of Hatzala guys right now who are salivating. You know that they're online.
Get to the calls faster. But once you have a Tesla, though, you can kind of wrap your head around it. Do you understand that? You've driven a Tesla?
Yes.
So
the acceleration is beyond anything you've ever experienced.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why you can kind of imagine, like, you can imagine it even faster.
Yeah.
Like, once you get a taste of it, you realize, okay, I can see it. I don't know about under
but
a second.
Under a second.
That I don't know about.
Because when I drove a Tesla for the first time and I floored it, my yarmulke went flying off.
Yeah, you get just bolted like to the back, to the seat.
I was reading an article and they were saying like the G-forces of going from 0 to 60 in under 1 second, I don't know if it's even legal because the G-forces are so extreme.
But people would pass out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're going to pass out from 0 to 60, but it's definitely, you know, a lot of pressure.
When I first drove the Tesla, the thing that hit me was just the quietness, the awkwardness of the cabin. You don't realize how much engine noise is a tension diffuser.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to go on a first shidduch in a Tesla. You know what I'm saying?
Too much quiet.
Yeah, it's way too quiet in the cabin. I can't do it.
So now you're giving shit advice to our listeners.
Yeah, but what? Listen, somebody's got to.
You get it all on this podcast. You get it all. And speaking of Musk, by the way, so remember the story that Elon Musk, he wanted a $56 billion salary from Tesla, and then one of the shareholders sued him in Delaware court.
I don't know anything about this.
You don't remember this. Okay, well, he said that he needed to get a $56 billion salary.
Which is kind of steep.
Kind of steep, but this is a company that, you know, he created, and he's saying, this is what, you want me, this is my price.
And $56
billion. $56 billion, yes. And he was sued by a shareholder, and the shareholder won.
Really?
And the court struck down. We covered this. I don't know why you don't remember
it. I mean, it's 122 episodes. I can't remember every, like, detail.
No, because what we said at the time was, like, it's strange that the court had the right to tell a company that you can't pay one of your employees a certain amount. Like, it's a strange thing.
No, I mean, it's everybody's money, right? There's a board.
It's a public company.
Right.
Right. So, in the irony of this whole thing is that the lawyers representing the guy who stopped him from getting this pay have now filed to be paid for their work.
$56 billion.
Close. $6 billion.
That's quite the payday for that law
firm.
Is that
ridiculous? And they're like, what do you mean? But we saved $56 billion.
You have a surplus now. So now they're probably going to get sued in like a lawsuit inception. You know what I'm saying?
I'll do it. I'll sue him. And then I'll be like, okay, here's my fee. $600 million.
Not only that, you'll get any university or law school to front you a diploma for 20% of your...
of your wins.
Right, exactly.
Okay, and in interesting news, there's a report that came out about a study that shows that exercise is twice as effective as antidepressants at treating depression.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned this, because did you see that globally, one in out of every eight people is now clinically obese?
Really?
In the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Exactly. That means one of us here right now.
Stop looking at me. Turn yourself around, okay? So you're going to have to ask for mechila from me. And I'm not going to give it.
There are months and months till Yom Kippur.
I'm not going to give it. I'm just telling you from now. Mechila will not be given to you. But, and so here's the interesting thing. So, and I thought you were going to say something about the number of people that are on antidepressants. It's a huge, huge number. But the number one exercise that they're saying that's best is actually dancing.
Well, now you know why Hasidim is so happy. There's a wedding every yes. night of the week.
And they know how to get down.
Exactly.
Right?
By the way, dancing, mikvah, gala, what else could you need in
that's
life?
All you need. But I have a feeling that the exercise and the gala kind of cancel each other out.
But you know, I think gala is a really healthy food.
No, I don't think so. I really, really doubt that.
Well, what could be unhealthy? It's gelled calves' feet.
Right. What could possibly be unhealthy about that? No,
but if it's like marrow, like I feel like it's not bad.
Well, there's probably nutrients and stuff, but it's clearly not healthy, right? Anything that's gelled, right? Anything that is like solid
that
at room temperature.
can turn into jelly.
Generally not going to be healthy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, also in the news.
Any flay shakes jello.
Exactly.
No good.
Exactly. Also in the news, there's a shortage of carbon dioxide. Did you know that? I thought we had too much carbon dioxide, right? Isn't that global warming?
Wait, isn't that for the plants? Like, don't the plants thrive on the carbon dioxide?
Yes, but we're talking about here like, you know, bottled carbon dioxide. There's a shortage, and that's affecting the soda industry, the soda and seltzer industry, and there's actually becoming shortages of soda and
seltzer.
Wait a second.
Is that like, do they need carbon dioxide to carbonate the actual soda?
Yes, that's where it gets its bubbles.
And is this a worldwide shortage?
Worldwide shortage.
Well,
no, I'm kidding. No, it's actually just Australia.
So is Mayim Chaim like panicking, like
the Australia branch?
Like, I'm sure the Chassidim, by the way, the Chassidim love the seltzer.
Oh, for sure.
Love it. But
are you a seltzer guy? Because I'm not really a seltzer guy.
I don't really dig the seltzer. People I know like swear by seltzer.
Yes.
I don't understand it.
Like, they're obsessed with seltzer.
Yeah. And it's frankly,
in the Frum world, it's more like the most popular drink of all time.
Oh, for sure. No. For sure, in the Hasidische Welt, it's the number one beverage.
But why?
Your guess is as good as mine. But maybe it fills people up, like if they don't want to eat too much.
No, I don't think
because that's it is filling. You can't, like, how many cups of seltzer could you possibly drink? You
could put them down.
I cannot put down more than two cups. That's I can't.
Yeah, the gas comes out, right?
Eventually, you burp it up. But, you know, like, who's interested in that whole process?
Right, I hear that.
Either way, our hearts are with our Hasidic brethren in Australia as we hope for a quick resolution to this to this nationwide problem of nation of Australia, obviously.
Yeah, and until then, stick with Perrier. Did you know that Perrier is naturally carbonated? It comes out like that.
Oh.
Amazing, huh?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Comes out from where? Is there a spring?
It's a spring, yeah.
A carbonated spring that they get Perrier from?
Yes.
This is news to me.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I don't even understand it.
Yeah.
Like, how does water come out of the ground pre-carbonated? How much carbon? Is it too much carbonation?
It's just the right amount. It's just the right amount.
Just what nature intended.
Exactly. And in this was crazy news. I don't know if you saw this. Before we end, there was a rescue. A tractor trailer got into an accident where a car was hit and it pushed another car into oncoming traffic. That car hit the tractor trailer. The tractor trailer goes off of the bridge and it ends up dangling on the bridge. And they had to come rescue the driver from the tractor trailer. And there's video and pictures of this. We're going to include it in the WhatsApp. I mean, it's something to be seen, something you would never see in the world. And it's pretty amazing. And watching the rescue, it's just wild.
Oh, that's a legit bridge.
A legit bridge.
That's with, over water.
Yes. The pictures are just crazy. And the video, they actually have video, close-up video of the rescue, and it's just unbelievable.
That is absolutely insane. And you have to really just really appreciate having emergency services.
Yeah.
And like, how do you budget for something like this? I mean, I'll describe it because in the video, you see a truck hanging off a bridge, which is pretty much how we understood it. But and you can see the water, right? And the emergency services are being lowered down to the cab of the tractor trailer to save this guy.
Amazing.
Like, I don't
know. It was actually
a
woman driver.
Really?
Yes.
I just don't know who signs up for doing these tasks. Like, emergency services. Like, who... Like, this person didn't know he's going to be dangling off of a bridge this morning saving somebody else.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And the truck driver, I don't think ever would think that they were going to be dangling from a bridge staring at the ocean below. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, because you don't know that it's going to hold.
100%. And once again, new fear unlocked.
You should not be driving any semis or tractor trailers.
And in other travel news, I saw this one and I thought it was quite funny. So a gentleman was on Japan Airlines and he was in business class. So he signed up for the vegan breakfast. And when the vegan breakfast came, this is what it looked like.
That is a one banana.
It's a plate with a single banana in it.
Oh, you ordered the vegan breakfast. But it's funny because he also has champagne.
Yeah.
So that's how you know it's business class.
Yes, for sure. So they brought him the banana and he thought it was like the appetizer. So they bring him the banana and some chopsticks. And, you know, he was like, wait a minute, this is the meal?
We bring you gourmet banana.
And that's the whole meal. It's interesting that you're saying that because he actually, the guy who ate the banana in business class said it was a phenomenal banana.
Best banana ever tasted, but still hungry.
But you know what? As Jews, we go through this type of thing all the time, right? Because many times, I just flew recently and I ordered the kosher meal and I'm on the plane. There was no kosher meal. There was no kosher meal.
What did they say? Like, we just, oh, sorry, we're out of kosher meals?
No, they didn't have it. And they were like, no, this plane doesn't have kosher meals. I'm like, but I ordered it online and I chose kosher meal. No, sorry, sir.
Right.
We could bring you pretzels.
Or a banana.
Or a banana.
Right.
And we don't need to fly business class and eat bananas, by the way. Mm. If you buy us a coffee, we will be willing to fly coach to Eretz Yisrael.
No, speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. There's no chance that I'm going to go coach. Maybe, what's the middle
premium,
one?
Premium economy. Yeah. Okay, if you want us to go to Israel and you want us to record from there, you need to send us. And the only way you could do it is by buying us a coffee. Go to buymeacoffee.com/Kiddush Club or go to our website, KiddushClubPodcast.com, and click Buy Me a Coffee.
And we thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to join the WhatsApp group. You can do that either from the show notes or visit us at kiddishclubpodcast.com. Follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, and don't forget to support the cast by visiting buymeacoffee.com/kiddishclub. Show your support for the cast, and until next time, Kiddish Club out.
And this episode is copyright Kiddish Club Media.